The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
New Kids on the Block.
Sonia, I don't like Sonia.
Jason Donovan, Beatles, sorry to be predictable. Eric Jameson, the bird is gone. Connie Minogue, that guy Terry off the word Ruby Wax. Mr. Bean,
Terry Beadle.
Hello and welcome to Room 101, BBC Radio's antidote to desert island discs. Each week a guest chooses a list of their least favourite things, animal, vegetable, mineral or beetle, for me, Nick Hancock, to decide if they're awful enough to be included in Room 101, BBC Radio's museum of the dismal and dire. And this week's guest is broadcaster and musician John Walters.
Musician? John?
Yeah, musician. Good, yeah. Okay, and the first piece of music is a natural, and I can't believe anybody hasn't chosen it before.
You talk like Marlene Dietrich, and you dance like Zizi Jarman. Your clothes are all made by Balmain, and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair. Yes, there are. Your name, it is heard in high places. You know the Aga Khan. He sent you a racehorse for Christmas, and you keep it just for fun, for a laugh.
Your underpants are by Matisse. What a load of wallop at the top. Bad sign, that record, straight away. You know, you could have seen that at the end of the 60s. Is that when it came out, end of the 60s?
Something 69. Like that.
Yeah.
69.
Awful business, because it set the tone for what was to come. We didn't see that. It was a little acorn from which a mighty oak tree grew. Because it was all that silly names. You know, designer names. All you got to say was something foreign. You know, your trousers, Jean-Paul Sartre. What do you mean? Nothing. But it led to the 80s, when people suddenly started to buy tatty clothes and stick a label on it.
Well, it's the sort of thing that any song that you can hear the words in, you're meant to think's clever. There's people who go, oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, oh,
yeah,
that's good.
True, I hadn't thought of that. It's sort of post-rock and roll, isn't it? Instead of, oh, it's about my hula, which nobody could understand.
Oh, a friend of Sasha Distel. Oh, that means something.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes,
oh,
a little meaningful.
Oh, you keep it just for a laugh. Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah. I know that sort of person.
Yeah. No, I hate that, and I think you should grab him by his silly moustache.
Peter Starset, obviously, is his
Peter Starset, and pull him into Room 101. I'd rather insist that we start off with, you know, 15 Love to Me.
You've got absolutely no problem with it going into Room 101.
Okay.
Let's open the door and hear what we can hear it going into join.
Here it goes.
Music was my first love, and it will be my last.
Horrendous. John Miles, is it?
Of course.
John Miles, his one famous record. This is my first hit record, and it will be my last.
Anyway, right, straight on, and your next choice, please.
Twenty tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, 2 angel faces, each with a turned up nose. One looks like mommy with a cute little curl on top, and the other one's got a big false bum, exactly like his pop, 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 pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop, pop, even worse. You see, Nick, now you might say, this is innocent enough. 20 tiny fingers, what a sweet little thought. Well, it's on one baby, of course, and you've got problems there, naturally. But there were a stack of these baby records. There were things like Buffalo Billy in a cowboy suit. Sure looks cute. Sure can shoot.
Why are you bringing these songs into my life?
There were things like Guy Mitchell had a horrendous one.
I think we've
Beat
got
up, how did it go? Oh,
beat up, had him on the vocal. Let's hear him laugh. Ha ha! Beat up, had him on the vocal. Seen a babe like this before, is so good looking, gonna have some more. Feed up, had him on a popo, let's hear him laugh.
Incredible thing about that is some of the lyrics. I think Oliver Reed should bring this out. I've been known to gamble, take a little drink. Then there's a night I had a fight and ended up in the clink. But now my hooting days are done.
Hooting.
Gotta be the man. He thinks I am, because I love my son.
And there's always laughter in it.
Did you notice the first one, Old McCogan, 20 tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes? You didn't notice that bit?
What is that about?
Well, she was known as the girl with the laugh in her voice. So all her songs, you know, whatever she was doing, if she was singing, I don't know, the Death March, she got the laugh in her voice, you know, it didn't make any difference. And I hated that phony prancing around, you know, babies, songs about babies, I disliked babies when I was a baby, other babies look stupid and they still do.
Well, I'm sadly not going to allow that because you've overstepped the mark by picking two songs.
Two songs?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other one was only illustrative, you know, of a cult at the time. I picked this to represent.
You're outside your remit. Bad luck.
Oh, no.
There's an end to it. Okay.
Oh, 15 off.
Next one. We're going to talk about your least favourite television programme, John. Would you like to tell us what that is?
Trouble is, I'm a fan of what you might call, like, the good bad. You know what I mean? I thought when you called and said, pick a few things and come into the studio, I thought, oh, yeah, obvious. There used to be one of these Harry Secombe kind of Sunday night music programmes where they fulfil their commitment to have something religious on, but they don't want people to switch off, obviously, so they leave mums on. Nowadays, it's Harry Secombe. But there used to be a classic on, I think, Granada. It had Jess Yates playing the organ for a start, and he'd introduce them, and then there'd be something like the Beverly Sisters in a ruined cathedral set singing Bless This House. Or 20 tiny fingers. It didn't seem to matter. Yeah, but then they... I'd say, what a terrible programme that should go. But I'd like to see it again. And suddenly I thought, what is it that I watched that I go, oh, no, Steps, what are they doing it? And I thought, Right to Reply. Not the programme. But the bit where it starts, if you'd have come from Mars and you thought, hello, what's this programme? Right to Reply. It gives you a bit of a clue. Then it starts. And the music starts with all that sort of bingle-bongle, bingle-bongle, mingle-mangle, bingle-bongle, getting louder and louder and faster going bingle-bongle, bingle. And suddenly the images come up and there's like, it starts with what appears to be the late, great jazz clarinetist, soprano, saxophonist, Sidney Bechet, looking through a hole for no reason known to man. But that cuts very quickly to somebody who seems like a sort of animated robot, all jerky motions, and he's laughing for no reason, silently. And he's like, what is this programme? And then there's a globe. Then he goes back and laughs again. Then there's a fish. Then there's what appears to be the Milky Bar Kid. There's a piece of steak. The steak's being cut. What is this? Fish, steak, surf and turf. What is this program?
What are we replying to here?
Jesus comes up. Then after Jesus, there's a weightlifter. Flexes his biceps. What? The man comes up again and goes, laugh, 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 laugh. And it goes, needle, 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 boom. Yeah, it's an incredible program. And then it's this woman at a desk with a couple of dissatisfied punters saying, why, oh, why? And you think, hardly worse these. So I'd like that to go in because I think it's designer codswallop. A couple of women then say, do we have too much of Andy and Fergie on? It's not what, bingity bingity bing, steak, steak, laugh, laugh.
Well, presumably the credits were made for a completely different programme.
In my opinion, they were left over. Yeah. Left over from something. Probably Jonathan Ross. Now Jonathan's
Drugs
coming
watch
up.
Watch or something
yeah,
like that.
Could be easy, yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's not going to go in?
Oh.
Tragically. Because, I mean,
just stop.
I'd like to put the credits in. But
not the whole programme, just wait till it goes... Bing, 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 bing.
I can't divorce the credits from the programme itself. That's the idea of credits sort of thing.
Moving the goalposts.
Yeah, well, that's my job.
You.
That's what I'm here for. If the goalposts are there, I'll move them.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't go in because, in a way, Right to Reply is a sort of forerunner in 101. It's the right to say something's rubbish. So that's fair enough.
Your decision is final.
Yeah, that's
it. I do accept that. Come on, then.
Next one. Music, please, Maestro.
This is fun! Sparky, who's that playing? Is Miss Spear still here?
No, Mother. Miss Spear is gone.
Well, who was that playing?
Well, I was, Mother.
What we didn't hear on that was the bit that's sort of good side of it was the piano talking. I mean, it's Sparky's magic piano. Sparky. You look as if you've never heard it before. The reason I want that is I was sent to, and sort of wanted to go to piano lessons. I hated them. I wanted to play things, but really, like, I really wanted to play jazz or something, you know, and just pick the instruments up and play. You know, let it go. Hey, hey, you know, like they do on the Glenn Miller story, things you went to see at the Peaches. They just seemed to, hey, hey, let's play, boys, do the show right here. Ba, 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 da, 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 and it just went. Well, that's what it's like. But I went for lessons, and all these awful tunes called things like, you know, The Bee's Wedding. you know, and, like, the grasshopper's holiday, you know, and the caterpillar's divorce, and all these strange things, which all went, om-ching, om-ching, plinka-plunka, plinka-plunka, om-ching, om. And I thought, when do I start? And then every Saturday on Junior Choice, Uncle Mac would have to do Sparky's Magic Piano. He'd just sit down at the piano, Sparky. And the piano would say, oh, you'll play anything you ask me to play. Which was sort of like early synth. God, I don't know how they did it. Perhaps it was a talking piano. If it was, I wanted it. I'd like to sit down and go, bling, blong, ding, 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 bong, bling, bling, blong. And it'd all rattle out. Just let the piano do it. It'd be tremendous. And then my mother would say, hey, who's that playing? And I could say, it were me, mother. Like Sparky. Never happened. And I feel like that sort of stunted my youth and my growth to some degree.
But I also wonder if the Sparky that it refers to is Mark Hughes of Manchester United, because that's his nickname.
Is it?
And if he had a magic piano, it might have helped them win the championship last season.
What was he called, Sparky?
I don't know.
Because he goes...
Almost certainly,
yeah,
I would have
possible.
Thought.
It's possible, yeah. Mm. Anyway, what's the chance of that?
You've got absolutely no problem with it going into room 101.
Okay. We've got
it goes in with Mark Hughes, in fact.
Yeah.
The bravest animals in the land are Captain Beaky and his band, Timid Toad, Reckless Rat, Artful Owl, and Fatty Bat.
I'm glad that's already in. It's a bit like a road accident. I mean, Captain Beaky happened to me, but now I can't remember anything about it. You know, all I remember is coming to the bend. You know, I saw some lights. You tell me it was Captain Beaky. I don't know that.
You always felt there should have been an additional verse. The most irritating animals in the land are Captain Beaky and his band.
Or where they were run over suddenly, walking across the road.
Yeah. There's the most dead animals in the land are Captain Beaky and his band. Yeah.
There's a sort of tongue-in-cheek book available in America now, which is called something like Something Fauna. I've forgotten the title. But it means you can get out of the car and identify what you've run over. It gives you maps and plans of flat animals. I'd have liked that applied to Captain Beaky. And if he'd hadn't run over, he might have hit him with the book.
Fair enough. Right, most hated person next, John.
It's difficult because I'd thought, obviously, you think of the obvious things. You know, like, there's always references on this programme to Jeremy Beadle and all that sort of thing. Yeah. I was going to watch him some months ago and I said to the missus, oh, here's this thing about videos. And she said, no point watching that. It's just children coming down a hill and falling off their tricycles and landing in a holly bush. And I thought, actually, what else do I want to see on television with my feelings? You know, I'm only second to King Herod in my view of children. So, and I've watched it ever since. So I thought, yes, I hate him. But like the children eating their heads at their birthday parties. And I thought, hang on. And I remembered a bloke I knew 30 years ago when I was at college, I suppose, the start of the 60s. And I dug holes in the road for the electricity board. Very often I'll be put with this bloke, he may be still alive somewhere, he's called Geordie something, because they were all called Geordie something, like, well, here's a team, and this is like Geordie Armstrong, Geordie Cameron, Geordie McKenzie, you know, all Geordies were called Geordie. But I'd get stuck with this bloke, and he'd do the work, he was a craftsman, and I had to expose the pipe, as they say. In other words, I'd take the flagstone up off the pavement, lean it against the wall, right? Then he'd say, right, son, well, I'll make a cup of tea, you expose the pipe, you know, and you get like, you start to dig the earth away till you got to the electricity pipe, like, you didn't go too hard, you know, because you didn't want instant Jimi Hendrix haircut, you didn't need that. So I'd dig away at the pipe, and then he'd get down, right, son, leave it to me, he'd get by and do the job, like, with all the molten lead and all that stuff, so to seal it all up, what he had to do. Soon as he started that, he'd suddenly start to sing. And he sang, oh, Punchinello. And that was it. And he only sang one, I say song, it's a fragment. You know, I feel like an archaeologist. There was, and there'd be a pause, and after about 5 or 6 minutes, I think, well, that's it. You know, and then he'd suddenly go, there you go, let's just get that sorted out. Ah, there we are. Oh, Punchinello. I worked with him for weeks, for months, actually, because I went back the next year, and he was still going, oh, Punchinello! And then still, I mean, I never know what the song is, I've never found it to this day, and but I don't want to be reminded of it now, so he should be in there, with Peter Sarsfield.
It's a teaser, it's such a teaser. No, Who is this Punchinello?
Don't ask me. I don't know, Nick.
That is a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy.
Terrible enough to go in?
I feel so.
Who was
101 reverberating to the sound of...
Oh, Punchinello! sport?
No.
I know it very well enough.
Yeah, well, you should know it very well.
Why?
It's not every evening.
It's not John Peel's
for many, many years.
what is it?
Nationwide.
Oh, of course, yes, Nationwide. Is it that bad?
Oh, Nationwide was dire. I mean, it's like having the local news, but across the whole country.
I know what you mean. Man's hat blows off in Balham.
Yeah.
That kind of...
Woman nearly knocked down.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Okay, and next, it's your most hated book.
Aha! I saw this round the corner in the bookstore. To be perfectly honest, I saw a card first, and I started to read it. It was a card with just writing. It wasn't like little kittens jumping out of a teapot or the usual kind of things you send to people at Christmas and so on. And it had got writing on, and I thought, hang on. And what was worse... This person had signed it. Then I saw there were some books at the side, and I thought, this is absolutely too much. Then I flicked through them, and I realised what I was reading. The person's name is Susan Polis Schutz. First, she's an American woman. That's a very bad sign. American women are bad news, but American women who think they're sensitive and write it down... They're very bad news. And if they've got three names, like Susan Polis Schutz, that's... So I thought, I bought the book. This is her latest work. Thank you for being my friend. When I have a problem, I ask for your help. Because your wiseness... Notice he says wiseness.
Did you like that? Yeah,
wiseness. Like that. Got away with words. Wiseness helps me to solve it. And it goes on about thanking you for being my friend. Signed, Susan Polis Schutz. And she's written many other books, including The Best Is Yet To Be. And Whatever is Best. And that great work, I Want To Laugh. I Want To Cry. I Want To Be Sick, personally. She's got another horrendous one that begins, I go out all the time with so many people. But when I need... dot, 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 dot... Goes out with many people, this woman would be like antimatter. She'd walk into the bar, people saying, oh, I think I've got a heart attack, I'd better go home. Oh, last bus, sorry, got to go. The bar would clear as she walked in and decided to give a reading. She's got to go in, all three of us. Susan, Polis, Schutz.
I think she has to go. I think she has
but
to
she
go.
She could sit with the man every so often, she'd stop.
And he'd
and
go...
He'd go oh, Punchinello!
It's the dream ticket, isn't it? What was his name?
Geordie something.
Geordie something.
And now he is Oh, Punchinello, sung by Geordie. And you just stop there, you say. And so you got that off. Wonderful.
Definitely, they're in.
Oh, good. I'm doing well in Alta.
You are.
I wish I looked after me teeth. And spotted the dangers beneath. Or the toppings.
I see he's all right. Yes, I say, can't we do
suddenly,
like a swap?
Exactly.
Over a bridge.
Tom Ayres is a deeply talented, lovely,
yeah.
lovely
They start to walk from different sides of the bridge. And yeah. we've got a guns cock and they meet in the middle like Michael Caine's watching from the other side. And then we get Tom Ayres and they get Susan Polis.
I don't think we can actually arrange that. We might put her in contact with the escape committee.
Imagine trying to deprogram Susan Polis Schutz. She could be there for years.
Okay, next one. Another musical interlude.
You know what this reminds me of, don't you?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Ruining the music, isn't it?
What are they laughing at?
I don't need to say anything.
You feel sure?
Well, I don't think it needs justifying any further. You know, it's a bit like the Yorkshire Ripper or something like that. Once he'd cough for it, they know they got the right bloke. You know, I mean, there's no point. It's hardly worth going to court. And this is a bit the same, isn't it? What I really dislike about it, I suppose, is when I again when I was a kid, I used to get like Dandy and Beano, and I never saw any child laughing at it. Is you open Dandy and Beano, whatever it was, and you'd see Desperate Dan or Corky the Cat in the first frame walking down the street reading their own comic and going, laugh, laugh, spelled L-A-double-F. You know, laugh, laugh, laugh. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. I never saw anybody go chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. And the idea, all this phony laughter. I never believed that laughing policeman syndrome, that people went home, had a few beers and put on an old 78 of people laughing in all these awful depressed kind of Coronation Street rows, and all sat there laughing in the kitchen over their Yorkshire pudding. Like, no, I never believed it. And I think it was a totally phony thing. And I met Norman Wisdom. He's quite a nice bloke in his own way. He just does the act all the time. But, you know, Josh Bradford. Nice enough woman, I suppose. Don't Spicy ever work with him? Went in the same room.
Yeah, that's what gets me. It's such an unlikely alliance. But that's given right. that they were in the right room, there is the lovely thought that possibly there's a love child somewhere.
Somewhere. That, who do you think it is? Victoria Wood? I mean,
Keith Chegwin was right immediately sprang to my
mind. Keith Chegwin's got the looks, hasn't he? Mm. Yeah, but he hasn't got the wit of either of them.
That's fair enough. Entirely fair. It's an unlikely alliance. It's like Barbara Cartland and Bobby Davro. I wonder if they'll ever do a song.
I'd like to hear it. I've got Barbara Cartland's album. I'd have brought that in, but I don't want it to go in 101, of course, you know.
She's got an album.
Have you never heard it?
No.
She sings, she recites stuff, like things like, every woman's dream is to be carried away by a sheik. I'm pretty sure she says sheik. Kind of across the sands of the desert. And then she goes into, one alone. You know, from the desert song with an orchestra. Yeah. She's horrendous, but it's so awful. Nobody would part with it. That's what I mean by good, bad.
It's not going to go in because I just... Oh. I can't allow on the same day for the admissions people in room 101, Geordie, Susan Polish-Schutz, Joyce Grenfell and Norman Wisdom to go in. OK, most hated place.
Again, it's back to my youth, the place where I was born and spent the first 18 years of my life. Place in between Nottingham and Derby. It's on the M25. Long Eaton. And it was just a time when you were growing up, feeling a few twitches about what you wanted to do in life. And Long Eaton's one of those places where they don't want to do anything in life. You see, it's not got that obvious Birmingham accent, because that's different. That's sort of West Midlands kind of thing.
It's East Midlands, isn't it?
It's East Midlands. And it's very subtle. Whenever you get these plays, usually about a serial killer set in Nottingham or something, they can never quite do the... They sometimes get one actor can do the accent, and others do Leeds or somewhere.
Yeah, they went up to Nottingham in Morse the other week, and there was just an incredible woman with a terrible accent doing it.
He's been dead for years.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's not like that. It's very kind of slovenly and rather dismissive like that. It's got a slight edge to it. You're right, me duck. So it's very low level, sneery. So, for instance, as long as it's the sort of place, if you went into a chip shop and just say, cod and chips, please. Cod. You want cod on a Monday? He wants cod on a Monday. They're pleased there, and then you say, well, sorry, a bit silly over here. And just the chips. What time is it? Doreen, he wants chips at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, you want chips. They take such a delight in bringing you down. And all my childhood was people, you know, if you said, here is, I don't know, Sidney Bechet or Louis Armstrong or Charlie Parker, then you put a record on and they say, who's he when he's at home? And you think, well, for a start, he's not at home. That's the whole point. You're at home, twerp. He's not at home.
But I like that sort of attitude. I mean, the people are a bit like that in Stoke. Not all of them, but I mean, if I go home, I find it refreshing. I phoned a taxi last time I was at home, and I said to the bloke, how long will it be I want to go up to Hanley? And he said, I don't know, bloody know, a fortnight.
I thought,
great, this is a man in a service industry. Right. How long will the taxi be? I don't know, bloody know, a fortnight.
Bloody ask me. So that's the whole area I quite like to put in. It may be fine now, it may be discos and all sorts, but I sort of...
Precincts.
Yeah, precincts and heritage festivals.
Yeah.
But what they got for heritage, they've had the Boredom Festival. The No Fish, No Chips Festival. Where they have chip shops with nothing in them.
Excellent. No, well, it's not going in.
Oh!
I'm afraid not, no, because it's good, because I think if you understand that sort of attitude, you can enjoy it.
Relish it.
It's got to be there for the people who don't understand it and are shocked by it, who did it from the south, preferably.
I know what you mean.
So I'm not having it in.
Oh, well. I'll have to let you have that. Yeah, go on then.
Okay, next one, some more music, I believe.
I'm backing up my memories. I'm going to move. Out of your land, wasting my time. I'm gonna move on out of your land.
That doesn't sound too bad, does it? Well, it's not that bad. Is it?
Now, Marv always liked his voice anyway.
Alan's, have you? Yeah. Well, yeah, for anybody who's... Why should you know? I suppose everybody doesn't know. I mean, I was with the Alan Price set 65 to 67 playing the trumpet. And I was on that record. See, it's not like today where people go away for 3 months and come out with, like, a single or something like that. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. We get 3 hours. Alan, book for 3 hours. Come on, come on. Don't waste money. Don't waste money. He's paying for it. And so we go dashing in. And you do the single in the first 40 minutes or so. You just pack two tapes, you know. And they say, yeah, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. And then while we're here, don't waste the time. Let's put some things down for a future album. He's paid. You know, and we just take him away. And I remember we'd done a single that morning with Lulu, of all people. But and we had it. It never got in the charts. We were on Top of the Pops with Lulu singing it. But he said, right, come on, fill the time, get Lulu out. And so we did a thing we were doing in the show at the time, which was getting mighty crowded there. Betty Everett's song was quite nice. Trouble is the trumpet bits at the end of when he goes, get him Marty Curtis, I mean, we go, which was a bit wearing.
Should have brought your trumpet with you instead, shouldn't you?
Yeah, that was a mistake. Now, the tenor player was sharing with me, because the baritone player went, because they did that in fact, we did our whole repertoire, like, they call me Mr. Pitiful. You know, midnight hour. So any tune Alan shouted, people thought, hey, they've got all these arrangements. They're all the same thing. But the baritone player was going, and there, and we were going, and I thought, this is really wearing. We'd had a long morning. I'm playing trumpet. Steve Gregory was the tenor. He's usually very accurate. And we kept taking it, and every time we got to the end, because Alan would say, repeat it at the end. Too crowded for me. And keep repeating it. And we got right to the end, and Steve would go, sorry. I'll do it again, Jesus Christ, because you have to keep doing it again. And the last take, I said, we've got to get it right. Come on, my lips go. And we got right to the end and went, and I went, I thought, damn. It's me that's got it wrong. They said, forget it, we haven't got time for another. We'll fade it. It'll be faded. I said, fine. That's the one they kept. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, baby,
don't you know, no, 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 no,
I told you, they said they fade, that's the one they keep, it's the same.
It's incredibly bad. That's a good reason not to put it in room 101, really.
You mean you want to take it home and listen to it again? Thanks very much, you can have my coffee.
Keep you on your toes to always remember that these things can happen to you. Anyway, Alan Price is already in room 101.
Is he?
Yeah, for doing Andy Cap, the musical.
Oh, God, I went to see that in my collecting capacity.
That's a very bad one. Okay, I think that's just about it. You got four in. Where do you go to, my lovely? Sparky's Magic Piano. Geordie, who is the singer of Punchinello. And Susan Polis-Schutz. And also Mark Hughes. Good news for all football fans there. Thank you very much. Room 101 was presented by me, Nick Hancock, and starred guest John Walters. The producer was Lissa Evans.